Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable. Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Where to begin? Where to begin? What a weekend for the Brewers. They did not play a game. They lost an outfielder, opted out. Another one. His finger needed to get cut open. Pat Murphy had a heart attack. I mean, where do you even begin with this weekend? Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com. Not the greatest weekend in team history. Adam, how are you?
No, it was a really bad weekend. You know, the only good news to emerge from the weekend is that, you know, no news emerged of positive tests for the Brewers themselves, especially for those visiting clubhouse staffers who are, you know, they were not directly exposed, when some Cardinals coaches, and the Cardinals said a couple of players, but that's in question. But at least a couple of coaches and staffers were in on Thursday on the off day before the Cardinals knew of their positive tests. So the Brewers were really careful, even though the Brewers clubhouse folks on the visiting side didn't come in contact with any of those folks out of an abundance of caution. They still went through additional testing, and as far as we know, there are no issues. So that's really good news. Health is paramount this season, as we're finding out more and more.
You know, once this came down on Friday, the games were never going to get played this weekend. I know that they scheduled the doubleheader for aesthetics. They were never going to get played. It would not have been smart to do it. So now you've got the Brewers here who haven't played all weekend. They've got the White Sox. I'm going to complain about this every time I get the chance. I don't like that they have to do two in one location and two in another.
Yeah.
I think that baseball really screwed up in that way. But then you look at, like, I'm just, like, looking at the standings right now. The Cubs are 7-2. The Brewers are 3-3 in second. The Cardinals are 2-3. They've only played five games. And the Cardinals, if there's going to be more positive tests here today, it's going to be more in question into when they fill these games in. If the Cardinals, when do you fill in Cardinals? Tigers, if this series doesn't happen, I think that baseball, they almost need to adjust on the fly as they have been. But I don't see how all of these teams are going to finish 60 games, Adam.
Well, look, I agree with you. In the there have been positive tests on two teams, and you see what that does to the schedule for six teams at least. Maybe I'm miscounting, but it may be even more. The tentacles of this are challenging as they do testing and contact tracing. I would push back on that the doubleheader was aesthetics. I think if the Cardinals had gotten all of their testing back and they had all been negative and they were confident that it was three players, I think they would have played the doubleheader yesterday.
And I think that would have been a mistake.
That's fundamental. Yeah, but that's fundamentally where this is it's a question of, do you need to wait until you have multiple rounds of negative testing before you put anybody on the field? Or do you quarantine when you get the folks that test positive when you get positives You use your alternate training site to bring in players as replacements and continue to play the games. And that is like the question that was sort of fuzzy when this all began. It remains a little bit fuzzy after they went with the latter scenario where the Marlins played on after removing some players with a positive test, and that ended up spreading and it ended up being a bad situation. So I don't know, Bart, I don't know the answer. A lot of this is kind of on the fly, and the schedule is going to be adapted on the fly, and they're going to go as far as they can go. And I guess I think about the alternative, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, this was a stupid idea to even try. Had they not tried to play a season, I think they would be getting just as criticized on talk radio and everywhere else if baseball had just said, we're not going to do this. So I think they're legitimately are trying to do the best they can to adapt to these situations as they arise. But to me, the big takeaway is positive tests on two teams, what impact that can have on the entire league and the entire schedule.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I'm glad they tried, and they're still playing, so it hasn't been shut down. I'm glad that they tried. I think that, you know, the players were at first a little apprehensive about the way that the test results were coming back and the frequency of them, which baseball seems to have fixed. And I do give baseball leeway in terms of this is the first time that, you know, since 1918, I guess, but this is really the first time any of us have experienced how you try to play sports during a global pandemic. So there are going to be mistakes that they learn from along the way, and it's about correcting those. I want to hammer that schedule again. I don't know why they didn't. They just used the normal template of scheduling. Like, why do the Brewers go two games against the White Sox and then two in Chicago later this week? Why don't you just call that off right now and say, White Sox, you stay. You can be the home team. We'll let you bat second. It's just one more travel, more hotels. And now you've got to cram all these games in, Adam. And it's going to be really hard for a team like the Cardinals and even the Marlins and Phillies to play these games. I don't know when they're going to do it.
Yeah, I look, when the schedule came out, I expected we would see like 5-game series.
Yes.
And if you play 10 against the White Sox, you play 5 at home and you play 5 on the road. I would, if you do an interview with somebody from baseball with all these things, this was thought through and there was a reason they did it with the template that they used. I would listen to that in a heartbeat. I would love it. Because I don't quite understand. I imagine the answer has to do with competitive integrity, where, you know, if you catch a team that's down, a Freddie Freeman, you know, and you catch him for 5 days while Freddie Freeman is the Braves are down Freddie Freeman, that's a much different Braves team than when you get the games later. So that's part of the reason why baseball does these two, three, four game series in a normal world is, you know, and you try to spread them out, that you don't play the Dodgers all in April and then you're done. You try to spread it out because of it evens out the competitive nature of the sport. So, but in a special circumstance in a season like none other, in which just getting through the season is number one and competitive integrity is number two, I agree with you that I was surprised when I saw that the schedule looked so similar to what it used to look like. And, you know, even if you want, like, say this 2-2 against the White Sox, you know, batting second is a major advantage in baseball, statistically an advantage. You could have the White Sox be the home team. Now that still gives the Brewers batters, the guys who've been there, an advantage because they're hitting in their own ballpark where they're comfortable and sleeping in their own beds. But it does even out some of that issue of, and if all teams are doing it, that would help even it out a little bit. So I'm with you. I'm surprised that when the thing came out and it looked so much like it always does.
How much did Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com, how much did the Lorenzo Cain news surprise you?
Well, it surprised me in the very specific nature of, you know, of that it's Lorenzo Cain. I didn't know he was pondering, you know, there's at MLB.com, we don't use the phrase opt out for what he did. Opt out is a player who does so for health, their own health reasons. So there's like a distinction. but I don't know what other term to use. So I'm just going to say opted out.
Well, you like forfeited $6 million.
It doesn't surprise me that a player did it. So if that makes sense, like I didn't know it was going to be Lorenzo Cain, but I'm not surprised that a player said, you know, this is not for me. You know, this is, look, some people are mad about this somehow. This is a right afforded to an employee in his workplace. He talked with his family, and you know, knowing what we know about Lorenzo Cain and how competitive he is, and this is a guy who literally runs into walls for his teammates on a regular basis. So you know, these were hard conversations with Jenny and thinking about their kids. You know, three young boys, as we well know, with Lorenzo Cain, and he made the decision that he felt was right for his family. So I respect the hell out of a guy making what had to be a really difficult decision because he felt it was right. He's not comfortable going forward. He has three young boys. And he said he's going to come back in 2021 and go get him. So I guess, you know, I didn't know Lokane was thinking about this. It sounds like some of his teammates did know that he was, you know, pondering it on the fence. And I'm sure there's players all around the game who are watching news and sort of eyeing day to day of what's happening with the Cardinals and may decide that this is not something that they want to go forward with. And the rules of their workplace, the union negotiated this right for them. They have every right to make this decision for themselves.
On and off the field, like, you know, obviously we know he's a leader in the clubhouse. Do we know a sense yet of how some of those guys, you know, when you have a guy like that that is not there anymore, that is going to make an impact. But then also on the field, that's going to make an impact too. How do you think the on and off the field impacts are resonated throughout the clubhouse?
Well, look, who knows? Because I'm not going to step foot in the clubhouse for who knows how long. I mean, who knows when the next time any of us will be in a locker room again to kind of where you can talk to players and it's not in a formal Zoom session. That's been challenging already with a whole bunch of different things where, you know, you don't want to make a federal case out of some little thing, but a thing in a normal world that you would want to ask a player, hey, what's going on with this, now has to be done in this press conference where people get summoned to a press conference and it all becomes blown up into a big deal. So it's really challenging to answer a question like that. I mean, you know, they're going to miss him from a baseball standpoint, A, because he was swinging it really well in the early going. And you look ahead to these four games against the White Sox and have three left-handed pitchers. You sure would like Lorenzo Cain and, for that matter, Ryan Braun for the next 4 days hitting in these games. And then what he does for you in center field. I mean, he is already one of the greatest center fielders to ever wear a Brewers uniform. And it's really been a short amount of time when you count the early, you know, the young Lorenzo Cain when he was still learning how to play baseball. And when he comes back as a World Series winner, a real, you know, a leader of the team, one of the greatest teammates that's ever worn the uniform. I mean, that is certainly going to be missed on the field and whatever is happening in the clubhouse. So it's significant. They like Ben Gamel. That's great. Ben Gamel's doesn't have the arm, but he's got, you know, he can go run it down out there in center field. That's good. Maybe it opens a little opportunity for a guy like Tyrone Taylor, maybe Corey Ray, whose career is really stalled in the last couple of years. This could be opportunity for him. So they're going to just have to, you know, continue on because Lokane made this decision. My understanding is that as of, whatever August 1st was, the days blending together, when you make that call, there's no, you know, Nick Markakis came back, but I don't believe that players have that option anymore. So the Brewers need to move on, and they're just not going to have Lorenzo Cain this season.
You tweeted about Braun last night. He developed an infection in his finger. He went to the ER, and they had to cut it open. He won't be able
to play
until that heals. Yeah, I don't know if that's like a two-day thing or like a month thing. What's going on with him?
Who knows? I mean, we may hear from him today. I just was able to sort of text with him a little bit. We may hear more. We'll hear from Craig Counsell today and maybe get a little more about how bad that is. It started with his fingernail, something with his fingernail, and it grew into something worse that he had to get treatment for. So I don't know the answer to how long. We're just going to have to wait to learn more from those guys today. But, you know, again, with where they're at in the schedule, lots of lefties, that's certainly a bat you would want in there. They have manpower with 30-man rosters and the player pool. I think there'll be a couple corresponding moves at some point today if they haven't done it while we're sitting here talking. So they will bring in some manpower is not the issue, but you're talking about two of your best right-handed bats against left-handed pitching. And that is, so that's significant when everything is magnified in this little short stretch here. Everything is magnified. But look, silver, 2020 is about finding silver linings, Bart. So like they're going to play baseball tonight. And that's good. I mean, the Cardinals, I think, are still stuck at the Pfister waiting on those latest results. And they're either going to go to Detroit or maybe go home. Who knows? Jack Flaherty's flipped his bed up. He's pitching into, the bottom side of the mattress in his hotel room. I mean, the Brewers at least are out on the field and they're able to get some things done.
The baseball will resume tonight, it appears. Brett Anderson on the mound tonight. Woodruff tomorrow. Yeah. You could almost pitch him today. Woodruff tomorrow, Hauser Wednesday. You tweeted this out earlier, and we don't know yet for Thursday. Surprises there at all? I mean, I don't really think so. Maybe we see Burns or Lauer or Peralta, but Council's kind of said it's not going to be the five-man rotation you're used to, and now when you don't play all weekend, that's part of it as well.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think you got to get Brett Anderson on the mound. It's been a while for him, and, you know, you signed him to start games for you. So I think you got to start him. And you could pitch Woodruff on regular rest, but one day is going to be it's going to be okay. And let's see who follows Brett Anderson today. Because, like, in the theoretical world of baseball, the idea of starting Brett Anderson, this savvy veteran lefty, and then coming back with Corbin Burns, this young 98-mile-an-hour nastiest slider you ever saw, righty, is sort of interesting as a change of pace. And it would, again, expanded rosters, the White Sox would have answers for that should they want to make some changes mid-game if that's the change they see. But it's an interesting way the Brewers are set up with the guys that they have as quote-unquote starters, the guys they have length from, to do this in a couple of different games where you do this massive change of pace in terms of style. So let's see if Burns follows today. Hauser's pretty nasty. I think you want him to pitch as much as possible. But then in that open game on Thursday, depending on who you don't pitch the next 3 days, now you've got a pool to choose from that includes Burns, Peralta, the lefty Lauer, and who am I missing? Oh, well, then Josh Lindblom, whenever he is able to get back into action. So you've got like some pretty seriously contrasting styles in the guys that they have stretched out. And I think the idea is to pitch a couple of those quote unquote starters in some games, almost as tandems, and try to throw a real change of pace at teams. So that's the theoretical way they're thinking about this. Obviously, keeping everybody healthy and on the mound is going to be a big part of that. And we've seen all over the game, that's really hard to do in 2020, and it's why depth is more important than ever, even though the schedule is shortened.
Well, I was going to see you Friday. I won't be at what is actually the home opener tonight. Are you wearing a suit? It is the home opener after all.
I was thinking about that. I think I'm going to.
Yeah.
I think why not?
Try to keep it normal.
Yeah, just try to make it special.
It's the home opener. That's the home opener tonight. It's August 3rd. It's the home opener.
Yeah, at Wrigley it was strange. You know, the foul line thing was really strange. So I don't know. I think I'm going to. Just, we don't know how many games we're going to get. And let's try to make them all count.
Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com. Adam, appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, see ya.
Adam McKelvey joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Is your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. I ask him that because there was a year where he went to opening day, didn't wear a suit. Jeff Supon was there at the time and said, "What are you doing? It's opening day. You gotta dress up." So he's always worn a suit at opening day, and I have gone to opening day to cover it too, and I've started to follow that tradition. I was going to go Friday. I obviously didn't. There was no game. I would go tonight, but I didn't get my credential in time, and there's NBA, and you know, Monday Night Raw, and we'll stay home. Mm. Hockey, and
yeah.
So I'll just stay home.
Yeah, jacked for this 12:30 p.m. tip-off between the Raptors and the Heat. Still no word yet if Jimmy Butler is going to play. I'm trying to place a bet. The Raptors are -3.5-point favorites, which just seems... it seems like something fishy is up there, especially after pounding the Lakers. I'm tempted to take the Heat +3.5, but I want to know if Jimmy Buckets is going to play or not. 70% of the money, 77% of the money, coming in on the Raptors, and yet that line's not moving. So I feel like the Heat win today, but I need to know if Jimmy's playing or not. Still no word. And, like, I don't even care about the line. I want to know if the NBA bubble
I want to know if Jimmy Butler is right. COVID or not.
Right. Like, why is nobody talking about this? Everybody's just... I put his name into the search, and all I get is TJ Warren highlights because they're going to meet up, you know, and TJ Warren just dropped 50. So I want to see that matchup, too, coming up here in a couple days. But, yeah, nothing on Jimmy Butler yet.
414-799-1250, 414-799-1250, Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvat. Window Select, these guys in Menominee Falls, they have been offering replacement windows, siding, and doors for Wisconsin homeowners now for many years, and they've got a really great deal, a bargain for you this summer. Buy one, get one free on windows at Window Select. WindowSelect.com. WindowSelect.com. Make sure you jot that down. Have it handy. They are the ones that can help you out, Justin and the gang over there. 262-703-3500. I mentioned, it's a buy one, get one free on windows. On windows. Think of the things that you try to find a buy one, get one on. Coffee, maybe if you're lucky. A sandwich. Windows. Windows that will help improve your home, the resale value of it, and it will make your home look better and feel better for a long, long time. These windows they have, they're high quality, important, energy efficient too. So the heating, the cooling costs throughout the year, that ends up being more affordable because of the windows you have. It's a little trick to knock down those costs. Window Select products come with a double lifetime warranty. Double. That's one of the best warranties in the entire industry. They'll do everything safe. They'll personally install them. They know their products better than anyone. When they come out, do a consultation. That's all free as well. Check them out, windowselect.com. This is the week to get it done. Windowselect.com, the buy one, get one deal. 262-703-3500, windowselect.com. 262-703-3500, windowselect.com. Again, 414-799-1250 is how you reach us here. And you can also tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. You okay?
What's that?
What are you doing over there, bud?
No, I was, I went to put my mic back on and I almost sneezed.
I know you're excited about sports being back. Don't be that excited.
No, I've had a sinus infection for like 3 weeks that's finally going away. I've been getting my allergy shots again now that you're allowed to go to doctor's offices. So got another round of those coming up tomorrow. I was supposed to have them today, but I postponed that because I want to get home and watch hockey at 11 a.m. and then this Raptors Heat game at 12:30. A lot of good matchups today. So, yeah, I am excited for sports. I almost kind of like that the Bucks have the day off so I could enjoy basketball without – like, I was on the edge of my seat. In fact, like, the hoops have been so good. Granted, I'm a degenerate gambler, so I've had money on all these games. But I've been standing up, like, watching teams I don't even care about because the product's just been so damn good.
Yeah, Bucks-Celtics was a stand-up game.
Like –
Bucks Rockets last night was a stand-up game.
Clippers Lakers was. I was rooting for Kawhi. I can't stand watching LeBron James play basketball. I know you're a big fanboy, and for some reason everybody here in Milwaukee is. We'll see how that turns out when you meet him in the finals and he's crying like that. I have a feeling you guys will turn your backs on him real quickly like you did with Aaron Rodgers and Christian Yelich when he started to struggle a little bit. But I feel like everybody will really hate LeBron come finals time. But watching him cry and try to sell everything, and then watching Kawhi just get right in his face and be like, all ball, all ball, that made me respect Kawhi a lot. He's a guy that's out there just to play basketball, whereas LeBron's a little crybaby baby.
I'm being called a crybaby today.
You're a big LeBron fan.
Well, I do like LeBron, but I'm being called a crybaby today, which I expected. But I didn't expect the follow-up to this tweet I put out regarding how a lot of people seem to feel about Giannis. So the tweet I put out last night is because the Bucks lose last night, and I'm feeling you're upset. They lose a game. But big picture, these eight seeding games really mean nothing when it comes to the standings. If anything, I think it helps. They've got some experience under their belt in close games. They blew it. You learn more from your mistakes than your successes, right? I just said that with Adam about the testing. So you almost, you know, you could feel a little better. But I tweet, because then I was going to go to bed. I'm on Twitter a little bit, always a bad idea. And there's a lot of people, like, making fun of the Bucks and saying, oh, the Bucks are... And I said, why do NBA fans enjoy when the Bucks lose? We haven't won anything in 49 years. Our one star in that time since the 80s was Ray Allen. We're the fourth team you think of him playing for. The only reason we're good now is because we drafted a kid on accident from Greece, and then Detroit threw in Middleton in a Brandon Knight deal, let us have this. So everybody there calling me a crybaby, which is fine. It's, you know, NBA trash talk. But I'm getting a lot of answers that I didn't expect. Eric, who seems to be a Sixers fan, so this shouldn't be too much of a surprise.
Ah.
He says, because Giannis is just not likable, my man. What's it like for cheering for a player that shows almost no joy playing the game he's supposed to love? In what planet is Giannis not likable? And in what planet do you not see him getting joy? And then there's so many other people. I found this out this week, guys. Around the league,
yeah.
We've watched Giannis for years. Around the league, people think Giannis gets calls? Am I missing something? Giannis never gets the superstar whistle. How many games does Giannis foul out of?
The first two of the season.
He never gets that whistle.
Yeah.
But around the league, the way that the Bucks are viewed is Giannis is eventually going to leave us, and in the meantime, he gets all the calls. That's how people view the Bucks.
Yeah, LeBron picks up, or LeBron, Giannis gets these fouls called against him because he's one of the few guys in the NBA that actually defends. He plays defense in the regular season, and officials just don't know what to do about that. Man, a Sixers fan saying that Giannis is unlikable, that he doesn't seem likable, is ridiculous. I mean, look at your squad. They don't like each other. Shaq Milton and Joel Embiid almost got into it. They almost had to throw hands.
Yeah, what was that about?
He said Embiid said something to him. He didn't like it, and they were jawing back and forth. Now, we've seen that a couple times in the bubble with other teams, too. But with Philly, that's been the knock on them for the last 3 years. I almost forget Jimmy Butler was in Philly last year. You know, I forget that Joel Embiid tried to sit out a game against the Raptors in the playoffs because he had a stomachache. You know, it's Ben Simmons and him. I like both of them as players. I probably, if I had to choose, would go with Simmons, though. Like, Embiid is the better player, but is he really going to be around in 10 years with his history of injuries? Any big guy with a history of foot injuries or back injuries, I try to stay away from. But I don't know. I don't think that's going to work out. I give them a year or two tops, and I think they're going to have to make a decision who they're going to keep with Embiid and Simmons. And Tobias Harris was not the answer. I know that they probably wanted to pay Jimmy Butler, but they couldn't afford to. But Tobias is that third option.
Well, and they sunk a bunch of money into Al Horford. What's he do for them?
Yeah, Al Horford hit a couple shots the other night, but he don't scare me. They pretty much picked up Al Horford just for Giannis because they have this idea.
Who Giannis beat up in the playoffs last year.
Yeah. But at the same time, like Billy had a great call earlier. I was complaining about not dumping it down low to Lopez last night, the final 3 minutes of the game, when Houston does not have a rim protector and he could just literally post up any of their 6'7", 6'8", wings that are trying to play down low on the block. For some reason, they stopped doing that. But why not dump it down to Giannis? You can't just run that pick and roll with the two-man game with him and Middleton the whole time. And Middleton's shot selection, and he was so good in the first half of that game, obviously, but the shot selection in the last 3 minutes of that game drove me nuts. All of a sudden, you don't run any offensive sets. It looked like what the Rockets were trying to do.
Well, they missed Bledsoe in that regard.
Right. You missed Bledsoe. I missed Bledsoe. I mean, you look at the turnovers last night.
And Giannis did get tired. If there's anything concerning me, maybe that's it.
I missed Bledsoe more on the defensive end, where Russell Westbrook was doing literally whatever he wanted in that game. At least Bledsoe. Now, Russ has scored 30-plus points, I think, in like 20 straight games or something like that. But at least Bledsoe, you know, slows him down a little bit. At least he attempts to get in front of him. So I think that's where you really missed him defensively, is your best on-ball defender.
Your point about Philly.
They hate each other.
Well, that's one thing that maybe we should consider more about this bubble. The talk on Philly was, well, they can't play on the road, they can play at home. How are they going to play in a bubble? Well, how are you going to play in a bubble? Because you're not just around these guys at practice and at the game.
All day.
You live with these guys.
Yeah.
They are on your floor. You see them all the time. If you have a team that, well, we don't like each other off the court, but we have chemistry on the court, that might not be enough. You got to like each other. I mean, you do have to like each other.
Right.
People say, "Oh, you don't have to like each other, but you got to respect each other about like coworkers when you're working together." No, I think in the bubble you have to like each other.
Right. And every other year I would say that I think that we overblow this a little bit. Well, this team has great chemistry. Well, you know who had great chemistry? The Atlanta Hawks team that won 60 games and all five of their starters made the All-Star team, but then what happened? They ran into a team that didn't have, you know, great chemistry, but they had LeBron James and they got beat. I always argue that the best players win in the NBA. And we've seen that like historically, like Shaq and Kobe Bryant, their final couple seasons, they didn't really get along. Everybody on the Bulls hated Michael Jordan, but they still won six championships in the 90s. But this year, more than ever, I think chemistry does matter. That's why I'm picking a team like the Raptors or the Bucks to come out in the East, because they do get along. Because, right, now you're spending every minute together, 24-7. There is no getting away to go to Pato.
How does a Jordan team do in the bubble?
Yeah, they would probably try to inject Michael Jordan with COVID-19. I think, well, A, Rodman would not be in the bubble. Everybody's like, imagine Rodman in the bubble. No, he would have opted out. 0% chance. You couldn't. Dennis Rodman was in one of the greatest cities on this planet as far as nightlife in Chicago, and they couldn't keep him in Chicago. He had to fly out to Vegas every single night. You would not have Dennis Rodman in that bubble. Right. Jordan punched Steve Kerr in the face at a practice. Yeah, imagine 24-7. I bet you LeBron's bad enough. He's probably doing room checks. He's probably his guys up at 5 a.m. eating his breakfast. Jordan would be 10 times worse. You know, the only good thing was about Jordan is you could golf in this thing, so you could probably get rid of him for maybe like four hours a day. But then, like, the other 16, he would be on your ass. Jordan wouldn't – oh, man. The Bulls, those teams would not survive the bubble life.
It's interesting. It's interesting to see, you know, go back in time and look how would the things have played out if they had a bubble. 414-799-1250. Ram is on the north side. Where are we starting, Ram?
Where are we starting?
Yeah. I think Middleton played well, so I could talk about that. You probably think the Bucks are soft.
It was what I always said about Bart and Ryan. He's being paid superstar money, but he's not a superstar.
He's a superstar in the first half, dog. Well, superstar against
it's at the end of the game when the last second ticks off the clock.
Well, they don't beat the Celtics without that big shot against them, though.
His shot selection was horrible.
Yeah, in the final couple minutes it was.
See, when you can't put the ball down and separate and shoot, that makes it very easy for defenders to get up in your face. And he can't shoot over nobody like that.
Well, he's like the only guy on the team outside of Giannis that could create his own shot and get to the charity stripe, though. At least he draws some fouls.
Airball threes is not the ticket. Giannis don't need to be shooting no threes. Elbow shot, yeah. Threes, he's never going to be a Durant. People need to get that out their head. That's never going to happen. But if he stays inside to, you know, to shoot the mid-range shot, that'll be deadly. You know, and they had a strategy to say, well, we're not big. We're playing small ball. We're going to shoot. But you know what the difference was? Harden had 6 steals. Westbrook had 5 steals. And that all converted into points. They were stripping the ball. Middleton had 6 turnovers by itself.
Right. Dante had 5. I mean,
I don't understand when he gets to the middle. What's this thing? He tried to put the ball behind his back. He did that in the All-Star game in the skills contest.
Oh, that doesn't count. Ram.
I'm just saying. But what I'm saying is, what I saw the difference again was what I've been seeing all season, 2 years. Our backcourt gets slaughtered when we play against elite guards.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
two guards had almost 60.
Well, the Rockets are like all guards, and we had two guards hurt.
Well, it was COVID. He can't hold Westbrook.
Westbrook's really good.
Westbrook gonna post him up. We've seen that happen before. But what I'm saying is, this is my first time in a long time the Bucks haven't had an elite guard. This is weird. I mean, when you go back to the Marcus Johnson, go up to George Karl, we always had a solid guard that could make the All-Star team. We don't have that now, and that's going to be a problem. And teams know that. They put the pressure on them. That's how they force the turnovers. That's what I saw. They forced the turnovers. They had 15 turnovers.
I am. I'll tell you, I'm not too worried about what I saw last night. I am worried about the Raptors.
The Raptors are pretty – they look solid. But you know what, Ryan and Bart, why people don't give Kyle Lowry his credit?
Yeah, I don't know.
He's a dog, man.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he outplayed LeBron.
Right, but what I'm saying,
granted,
is,
it's a regular season game, but
– but what I'm saying is, why they don't give him his credit?
I think it was because up until last year, Kyle Lowry was a notorious choker in the playoffs. Up until last year when he got to play with Kawhi. I want to see this Raptors team. I want to see who takes over games in the fourth quarter come playoff time. when rotations
are scary.
Well, they're going to be scary. I agree with that.
But what I'm saying is, there you go again. You got another guard that outscored Bledsoe 118-58 last year in the series. He slaughtered him.
Yeah, I mean, Bledsoe, this is a make it or break it year, especially because of what we're seeing without him on the floor right now. Bledsoe has to be good in the playoffs or the Bucks aren't going to win a championship.
You know what?
Can't believe I'm saying that. But
I'm just saying the two people that y'all count on psychologically and mentally, I just don't think they got it. I'm just being real about
Ooh.
It. As a ball player.
Bledsoe, that's fair. I mean, until he's on the floor in the fourth quarter of an Eastern Conference Finals game, I got to agree with that.
And Ryan, real quick to my last point. If the game is close like that, why don't you slow the game up, throw the ball in the post, get to the free line, stop the clock?
Exactly.
Why are they trying to play the game of Houston? They can't shoot with them.
Yeah, they did not finish that game well last night. Ram, thanks for the call. Budenholzer took the responsibility.
Yeah.
So now it's – again, I want to step back from this game. If we – if this was a playoff series and this was game one or three or whatever – and this is how it played out, I think the anger would be very prevalent today. And I would certainly be more upset with Steph. I mean, I would not stop complaining about Sterling Brown, but you have eight games. This is why they didn't go right to the playoffs, guys. You have eight games to get your legs under you, to get back in basketball shape. Giannis a little fatigued last night. All right, Middleton maybe as well. So you have eight games to get your legs back under you. You're playing good competition because there's good teams there.
Yeah.
You're going to see how you stack up against some of these squads, and then you're going to be able to learn from mistakes. Instead of the Bucks just resting their guys at the end of the season, you know, and just limping into the playoffs, already banged up, maybe this helps you. Maybe you have this experience with the Rockets now that you wouldn't have had prior. I think it's going to help them. They now have something to draw back on. I think that goes a long way. I really do. I think that these guys having a tough test last night is a benefit. And I could be just wishful thinking or naive, but I really think that a game like this where, again, in the standings, we're not chasing 70 wins anymore.
Right.
You can't. We're not even chasing 60 wins. All they have to do is win one game and they win the number one seed, which this year doesn't really matter as much. So what are these eight games for? I want to beat the Rockets too. I want to beat James Harden too. I don't ever want the Bucks to lose.
Right.
I hate it. I'm watching this game last night like we all were, like it mattered. But then when the final whistle blows, I think it's fair to take a step back and say, what positives can we draw from this? How will it help them going forward? And that's what I elect to do.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the reason that some people are frustrated is just the fashion that they lost. I mean, it did kind of...
Yeah, it was a frustrating loss.
Well, there were some similarities to
it. It was the first time a team ever lost
finals.
Like that. I get it.
I mean, I was celebrating with 3 minutes to go.
Me too.
Like, especially because I had a little bit of cash on the game as well. I was like, game over. You know, and so I think it's just the fashion in which they lost, where you thought you had that one locked up twice. Then the Rockets thought that they had the game locked up. I mean, that's just NBA basketball, obviously. It's a game of runs, and teams are going to go on runs like that. But, I mean, I just feel like I'm not going to get too worked up over it because it was – I think that the Bucks, if anything, Mike Budenholzer probably learned a lot last night, because when you play a team against the Rockets like that, you do have to make some adjustments, whether it be with your rotation or the way that you want to play that game the final couple minutes. It doesn't become, you know, the pick and pop or that pick and roll, a two-man game with Middleton or Giannis. If you got Brooke cooking like that, especially on the low block, and, you know, you got PJ Tuckers of the world, 6'6", 6'7", shooting guards, trying to play, you know, the four or the five down low, you got to keep feeding it to him because he was feasting. And even if he's missing the shot, he's going to the free throw line. Like, you got to keep going to that. And that's the only problem I have with Bud is I love Bud. He's a great regular season coach, but come playoff time, he has to make the right adjustments the way that Nick Nurse did. And I hate to give Nick Nurse props or Eric Spoelstra, but they make the adjustments in the fourth quarter.
Got a tough question for you. I'll ask you that in a second. 799-1250. A reminder, we are all in everywhere you go. Wisconsin is all in. Wearing masks, washing hands, and keeping gatherings small. It's all different ways that we can help each other. Be a good neighbor. Show us how you're all in. Use the hashtag online. We are all in. Learn more at wearallinwi.com. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, commercial free hour on the Fan. Bill Michaels up next. Let's say the Bucks don't get to the finals and there's some problems again. There's some lack of adjustments. Is that enough to move on from Bud?
No, because I mean, where were you before Bud took over? I mean, what were you expecting from this team last year? You knew Giannis was on his way to becoming one of the better players in the league, maybe the face of the league, and win an MVP, but you didn't know what you had in Eric Bledsoe at the time. I mean, Chris Middleton, I would argue, has become a better player under Coach Bud. So I don't think that you would move on. Although then you think of the similarities like in NBA history, like the Chicago Bulls were really good with Jordan, and then they pick up Pippen, and they're so close to beating the Pistons, but they just can't get over the Pistons. Doug Collins was a great coach at that point. They fire him, and they go to Phil Jackson. But no, I don't think you move on from Bud. I don't. But I do think that it's kind of a make-it-or-break-it year for Coach Bud on how he's viewed as a head coach, you know, because
He's viewed right now as a regular season coach. He won the 60 in Atlanta. They lost to LeBron's team.
Right.
But with these adjustments, like, I don't know what takes him so long to make the adjustments. We all were asking for adjustments last year in the Eastern Conference Finals.
He likes his system. I mean, his system has success.
Well, he said it last night. He says, they play their way, we play our way. And so he doesn't want to make those kind of changes. Last night, I like the experience for the Bucks players physically being in that setting where they can draw upon it later on. That's what I like. I don't like if it's the first time that Coach Bud is like, oh, geez, I probably should do this there. Now, as a coach, he should probably be more aware of those situations.
Right.
And you're sure he has gone through that many times. I like it for the Bucks players. I do worry that if there is a, you know, a hang up, it could be Bud.
Yeah, and see, like, what I'm judging Coach Bud off of is the playoffs where he runs into LeBron with the Atlanta team, but that team just didn't have the talent. I mean, that was a hell of a regular season team, but they didn't have LeBron James. They didn't have a guy that could get buckets, that could create his own shot in the fourth quarter. Who was the best player on that team? Al Horford? Kyle Korver was an all-star on that team. So, like, I'm judging Bud off of last year, not making the adjustment to get Mirotić off the floor, leaving Nico Mirotić on the floor. But, I mean, you wanted him to shoot himself out of that slump. And then in the game six, you finally make the adjustment, leaving Eric Bledsoe on the floor until you realize he can't play in this series against Fred VanVleet and Kyle Lowry. He's getting embarrassed. We got to go to George Hill. Last night, I don't want to judge Bud over not making the adjustments because it's also a regular season game. And you have to wonder with some of those rotations, you know, how much do they care about this regular season? Now, it's the Bucks. They want to win every game. You know Bud's a competitive guy. Giannis is competitive. But you really want to show your hand and show everything that you have to a team like Houston. And I think that they're learning a little bit with these rotations. Because, again, right now, I mean, not having Pat Connaughton is a bigger deal than I thought. I didn't realize how big of a deal it was until I saw Sterling Brown handling the ball for over 12 minutes against the Boston Celtics, and then once again on the floor again last night. You know, until you see Dante DiVincenzo, who I love, and I think he's going to be just fine, turn the ball over five times in a game like that when he does get the opportunity to handle the ball a little bit more with Bledsoe off the floor. And, you know,
Brown had a nice drive to the hole on Friday, and then I thought, oh, my God, is he? And then that was about it.
He's awful. I mean that, like, he's in the NBA, so he's a great, you know, he's a good basketball player. But
when I started to not turn on Brown, but to think
he can't.
He played in Summer League last year and didn't look good.
He can't
be on the
floor.
Stand out at all. Hey. He's a 3-year veteran in Summer League last year, and he didn't look like he stood out at all. He should be running circles around those guys.
If it makes you sick to watch Chris Middleton put the ball on the floor, watching Sterling put the ball on the floor is just 50 times worse. Again, and I get that he has to eat minutes because you don't have Pat, and I'm fine with him eating a couple minutes here and there, diving for a loose ball or, you know, defending on the perimeter, but he doesn't need to be handling the ball ever, especially when George Hill's just sitting on the right wing, just like, what's going on here? And Sterling's just dribbling around. It makes me feel like I'm watching sixth grade basketball. But again, I'm not going to kill Bud over losing a regular season game. Just hopefully he makes the right adjustments come playoff time when you do see Toronto or if you do see Miami, one of these teams that scare me.
414-799-1250. Mike is in Pewaukee. What's up, Mike?
Actually, I'm in Germantown right now, so sorry about that.
Oh, my God. Hang up and try again.
I live in Pewaukee. I'm trying to work in Germantown. Hey, I didn't finish watching the game last night because at halftime, I mean, I could just feel in the game that they weren't on.
It did feel like a loss. It did feel like a loss during the game. But then when they took a lead late, I thought, oh, well, they came back and won this one. And then, of course, they blew it.
I did see that. I was checking my phone periodically. But when I finally saw that they lost, I wasn't surprised. And as soon as they lost the game, I said, this one goes to Coach Bud. I'm sorry, because I could see in the game in the first half when I was watching, the one of the big things I don't like about Coach Bud, I love him as a coach, but his refusal to tell his guys when they're not hitting threes to, you know, work for a better shot. I mean, that is a fundamental of basketball. If you're not hitting the long shots, you got to make points in the paint, and the Bucks are one of the best teams at that. So I just, that just drives me crazy. And you can't tell me that against a team that doesn't have a guy over 6'8", you know, playing down in the low post, posting guys up, and, you know, Brooke Lopez, you know, should be having a field day. So should his brother Robin. So should Giannis, quite honestly. And that, I think, that coupled with when Eric Bledsoe isn't, if they're going to not win it this year, it's going to be, I guarantee you, it's going to be because of Coach Bud not teaching his guys how to defend threes, and not when they, when they're not making threes themselves, to stop or at least drastically reduce the number that they're throwing up, because that's all they're doing is throwing them up. And then, you know, Eric Bledsoe either is going to not show up, somebody's going to get in his head. And I'm sorry, I just don't see that changing with Bledsoe. And I think last year they should have dealt that guy. I hope he proves me wrong. I really do. Because I like Eric Bledsoe regular season. But Eric Bledsoe playoffs, no thanks. And Middleton, too. Middleton, I'm not going to start the whole thing with Middleton. I like Middleton, too.
No,
I think
not.
He's a good number two. What's that?
Yeah, we've done a lot of Middleton. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm not trying to bust his chops, but like he can't. Like you guys were saying, the guy can't dribble to save his life. I can dribble better than that dude, and that's a stretch.
Mike, thanks for the call wherever you are. Have a good one. The Bucks lost to the Rockets yesterday, as you know. They were a league best 50-0 when leading by 8 or more points with 3 minutes or less to go in regulation. Coach Bud on what happened. Coach Bud. Okay, Coach Bud.
Well, we saw Ryan had 200 bucks on us, so we decided.
You know, I think we were, indecisive whether to play the post-up game or get Chris and Giannis into their game, and had a couple turnovers. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's really what killed us was, you know, turnovers, lack of execution down the stretch. So I actually think that's a good thing for us to learn from, and we'll get better.
Yeah, it is a good thing. He also said, that's on me. One other clip I wanted to play from you guys was this James Harden thing. He was asked how hard it was to defend Giannis, and he gave a very James Harden answer.
How difficult it was to defend Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Nice question.
Well, what's the point of that? What are we doing? What? I don't like that guy. He only has a beard because it helps him draw fouls. Tony's in Brookfield. What's up, Tony?
Hey, guys. Hey, has anybody asked Coach Bud why his house in Fox Point is for sale?
You know, that is a good question.
But my thinking is Popovich is retiring after this year, and Bud's going to take over the Spurs.
I think they give that job to Becky.
I think Becky Hammon gets it. He's had her as the head coach throughout the most of the bubble.
Yeah, but, you know, well, maybe.
Bud's married, right?
I don't know. No idea.
Yeah, I actually have no idea, man. I, like, look at him and, like, Tom Thibodeau as guys that, like, aren't married. They just go home and watch film.
Because I wondered if Bud's like, well, you know, I'm going to be in Orlando for 4 months. I might as well sell my house. Not have to pay 4 months of property tax.
He's got kids. I don't know if he has a wife, though. He's got 1, 2, 3, I think 4 kids. Yeah, I'm sure he's married.
Probably married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or he's getting some strange.
I don't know. You want to put money together and buy it?
Nah.
3.7 mil.
Too many taxes.
Thanks, Tony. 799-1250.
So Bud would go to... Holy cow. I don't remember... Sorry, I'm like looking up Bud's history. Do you remember Bud getting arrested for suspicion of DUI in 2013? He was found not guilty. Oh. Sorry, I'm like getting into, I don't really know a whole lot about Bud's personal life.
Are you C-capping this guy?
No, he does have kids, but doesn't have his wife listed, so I'm not quite sure. I don't think he would take the job in San Antonio. But shout out to the Spurs, because for some reason, everybody continues to count them out, and all they do is win.
Well, people are now talking that, because Pop was like, oh, fine, I guess we'll go to the bubble. Mm-hmm. We'll just play our young guys. Like, it was all a ruse. Yeah. Like he was just messing with people. 414-799-1250. We'll recap everything you need to know going into today. We'll hear very briefly from Matt LaFleur. And Mike Clemens will give you more on what's going on with Green Bay. 1:20 today on the Bill Michaels Show here on The Fan.
Now, a Green and Gold training camp update. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers rookies had their first training camp walkthrough sessions over the weekend. The veterans reported this morning. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst was asked if player accountability needs to be addressed to prevent the spread of the coronavirus.
You know, this year more so than any. You know, I mean, these guys are going to have to, for us to accomplish the things we want to accomplish in this season, guys are going to have to make right choices when they leave the building. There's no doubt about it.
Can players trust their teammates? Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Well, I think that's the whole key. If we're going to have football play this year, it's going to take a lot of self-discipline and a lot of self-accountability. And it's not just our players. I mean, it starts with our staff. Really, anybody that comes in contact with our players, they have got to be very mindful of what they're doing outside of this building. If they choose to go out in public, to mask up. We're all in this sucker together, that's for sure.
Best Packers coverage on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
It's Coach Eric Taylor of the Dillon Panthers. Mask up. How do you think Coach Eric Taylor would deal with coronavirus?
Boys.
Would he mask up and then Buddy Garrity would be like, I don't see a need for the mask?
He would have the whole team sit out. He would forfeit the season. He would not want to risk any of his guys. Buddy Garrity, though, yeah, he'd have all the boosters like, get these boys out there. It's just the flu. You know how that goes, though.
I would like to see Friday Night Lights come back with a COVID-19.
My peepaw didn't fight in World War I, so I have to go to Target episode. Wearing a mask looking like Bane. My peepaw died for this country.
Matt LaFleur, here's something that'll rile you up. Mike Clemens, part of the Matt LaFleur interview, and asked the question about Aaron Rodgers, and here's the answer Matt LaFleur gave.
Hey, Matt, here comes your favorite question. Every NFL analyst, every fan. Well, Green Bay traded up to get a quarterback, so that must mean Aaron's only there another year or two. And Aaron even alluded to last week that so maybe he's not here another 4 or 5 years. How do you handle that with the players? How do you handle – what do you want to say to fans about that situation?
Well, I think right now, most importantly, Aaron's our quarterback, and I see him here for a really long time. And however long that is, I don't think anybody knows. Nothing's guaranteed in this league. But I feel so lucky to be able to work with him on a daily basis. And, you know, I don't see that changing for a really long time.
So you hear that from Matt LaFleur about Aaron Rodgers, a pretty non-committal answer. And once again, he says he's going to be here for a long time. Matt LaFleur over and over says he'll be here for a long time, but every single action they've taken, drafting a quarterback, trading up to get the quarterback,
yeah,
guaranteeing all his money right away.
Yeah.
He's saying one thing and doing another.
It's like when Matt Rhule or whatever took over and was like, yeah, Cam Newton's our quarterback. And then 3 weeks later, Cam Newton was cut by the team. Nobody's going to come out and just be like, hey, we're finished with Rodgers. But they did cover their bases a little bit by saying, like, we expect him to be here a long time. Because then after they say something like that, both him and Goot, they'll be like, but, you know, it's the NFL and anything could happen. He ain't going to be here, man. The writing's on the wall. If Rodgers doesn't think that he's going to finish his career here, he's most likely not going to finish his career here. Now, I did see Florio, your boy, had over the weekend that the Packers have pretty much like come out and said that if Rodgers does continue to play or if he goes back to his MVP self, like let's say Green Bay wins the Super Bowl this year or they make it to the Super Bowl and Rodgers throws 45 touchdown passes, 2 picks, they would do the same situation that the Patriots did with Jimmy Garoppolo. I disagree. Jimmy Garoppolo was a second-round pick.
No, they wouldn't.
You had no guaranteed.
If they won a Super Bowl with Rodgers, they trade him the next day.
Right, Jimmy
Garoppolo. It gives them more incentive to move on.
I hate using that example because the Patriots took Jimmy Garoppolo in the second round because Jimmy Garoppolo fell to them. You know, the Packers traded up to take Jordan Love, and they did it in the first round. You don't
of a year where you needed a weapon.
Yeah, this isn't 1998 where you draft a quarterback and he sits for 3 or 4 years and holds the clipboard. Like, you know, the year that the Chiefs draft Patrick Mahomes, like hashtag people forget, that was an 11-win football team. And they went to the playoffs that year. But they put Mahomes in because they wanted to rest Alex Smith 1 week and they saw enough from Mahomes. And then despite the fact that they went to the playoffs that year and had double-digit wins, they still got rid of Alex Smith, who's a serviceable. And the crazy thing is Alex Smith went to the Pro Bowl that year. And yeah, they still
Alex
cut
Smith
ties
was
with
playing
him.
Well.
Right, and they still got rid of him to move on and go with Mahomes. You just don't draft a quarterback in the first round anymore, or any player in the NFL. If you take a first-round pick, that guy's usually starting year two at the latest.
I guess, though, I mean, what's the alternative? We'll hear more from LaFleur and Gutekunst tomorrow, and Mike Clemens will be here at 9:30 tomorrow. He'll good be buddy. With our good buddy Mike Clemens. We'll be with Bill at 1:20 today.
Couple good buddies.
And
good buddies.
We're all good buddies around here. Somebody tweeted earlier and said, how would it last if 105.7 was in a bubble?
I would not report. I would opt out. I would opt out in a heartbeat. Literally.
Oh, hi.
Oh, God. I'd kill everybody in the bubble. I don't think I could say that on air. I would not want to be in the bubble. I'm in a bubble at my house with people that I love, and that's hard enough.
Well, if we were at Disney, Joe and Sparky would sneak out every night.
Wearing masks!
But then still, like, get to bed before 9 somehow.
Oh, yeah. Joe's got, like, on a sketch. Joe would be like, all right, it's Sunday. True Detective's on in 20 minutes. And then I have to brush my teeth. Ooh, I'm getting into it. Face washing's supposed to be at 9:15. Here we are at 9:13, 26, in 26 seconds. Hey, legal ID needs to fire at 50. When do you hit it, Bart? 42. Wrong! 41.
Bill would probably bring his Traeger grill and burn the hotel down.
Yeah, I wonder what is on his menu today. He had, man, the opening day for non-opening day, that looked good. He had some sausages. He had he did ribs for the first time. He rated them 7 out of 10.
Just a 7?
Yeah, he only gave it a 7.
Of his own cooking?
Yeah. It was the first time he did it on the Traeger grill, though. Yeah. First time I made, well, I don't have a Traeger grill, unfortunately. I do mine in the oven.
Yeah, I had Hot Pockets last night.
My kid just discovered Hot Pockets, and it was like this whole deal. So he was on YouTube.
Does he want to be my friend?
I said, he was like, Daddy, do you know about Hot Pockets? And I was like, yeah, bro, they've been around literally for the last 50 years. And then I was doing the, what are you going to get? Hot Pockets.
Do you know my friend's roommate in college?
Yeah.
Are you following?
Yeah, your friend's roommate in college.
His dad
invented Hot Pockets.
Invented the sleeve.
The sleeve. Oh, for the Hot Pockets?
They put them in the microwave.
Wow.
Yeah, rich.
Really?
Invented the sleeve you put in the microwave.
Wow, that's like inventing a toaster strudel. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Good story. Yeah, my kid, but he was like all in because he... All in! He found this on YouTube, and he was like, I really want these Hot Pocket things. And so my wife, for some reason... During work, she's like, she has 20 minutes of a break, and she goes and gets this kid Hot Pockets, takes one bite, he hated them.
Why? Which one? Would you give him ham and cheddar?
Yeah, ham and cheddar, yeah.
That's the worst one.
Which ones do you go with? The buffalo chicken?
Buffalo chicken or chicken jalapeno or turkey?
Six. If I give him chicken jalapeno, his head will explode.
Turkey bacon. You know what I like about you is sometimes people are like, yo, I like that show, but there's too many inside jokes between the hosts.
Yeah.
You do too many inside jokes with yourself.
Well, we only
I can't keep up with what the hell you're saying.
I just bring him out the last 3 minutes of the show here for the commercial-free rock block.
I don't even know what the hell you're talking about at the time.
Eh, does it matter?
It doesn't.
Right.
None of this does.
It's like Major League Baseball with the schedule. Who cares?
None of this matters.
Marlins are going to play 5 games this year.
Yeah. Bucks lost to the Rockets.
Who cares?
They're one COVID test away from shutting it all down.
Don't say that. Have we got any word on Jimmy Butler? What the
no,
hell's going on?
No, I have no idea. All right. Well, we'll be back tomorrow.
Maybe.
Hockey starts in an hour. Bill Michaels up next.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.